Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF.
I love this part where a man wakes up. He doesn't really know what to do. Mm-hmm. He just knows it's a mess. My life has been a mess. It is a mess. My thinking is messed up. And I can't keep doing more of this. It's killing me. It's just wasting all my resources. Me, time, energy, effort, me as a it's wasting everything.
Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another episode of the PSR Podcast, which is a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries. In today's episode, I sit down with Stephen Cervantes, a.k.a. Dr. Marriage, to explore the journey of awakening from addiction. Together, we discuss how addiction numbs pain and stunts emotional and spiritual growth, and why facing our pain rather than running from it is key to healing. Stephen shares personal insights about slowing down, self-reflection, and finding freedom in Christ. So if you're fighting an addiction, we encourage you to embrace courage, seek support, and trust God's grace as you move from darkness and disconnection into light, connection, and true emotional freedom. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And as always, friends, it really helps out if you'll rate and review the podcast after listening so that others can find this content. Now, let's dive into today's helpful conversation on waking up from addiction to live a whole new life of freedom and peace. Well, all right, we're back again with Stephen Cervantes, Dr. Marriage. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Excited about this talk, actually.
Yeah, so we're actually recording these early in the new year. And so, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot for a second because I know we've talked about this a little bit before in the past. And, you know, how does Dr. Marriage kind of enter the new year? Do you have like hopeful dreams or like how do you enter each new year?
Well, we're reevaluating because everything takes so much work, and then people go, "I want to do something new and position themselves differently." So Dr. Marriage is on pause right now, but there's a bunch of material on the website, so I encourage you to go look at it. But we're still writing and posting. We're just backlogged at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Marriage exists to train men to engage their spouse, to be emotionally healthy, and to honor God with their whole system, not just their logic or just behavior, but emotionally find freedom in Christ in the emotional system so that we can be the most powerful human beings that God made us to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he didn't design us to be weak and blocked and divided and hiding and scared and cowering. I hope you don't discover me. Oh, no. We are the most powerful beings. When you walk with Abba, Father, and you have the Holy Spirit and Jesus in your life, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. Jesus put it this way. We're made for abundant life, right?
There you go. I love that. Yes. And that's good.
That's great. So, this one is all about kind of awakening from addiction. And I love that term because I think in many ways you could say, you know, addiction is being asleep, being numb, being, you know, in the dark.
Yes.
And so the idea of awakening, I think of in the morning when you open your eyes and light comes in and you start to just kind of see differently. And anyway, so I'm looking forward to this conversation, too.
If I had to tell you my favorite part of an addiction, is the awakening from it.
Yeah, yeah.
The awakening when a man wakes up and recognizes, where have I been? Mm-hmm. What have I been doing? What have I built? I've been caught somewhere, spinning my wheels, doing small, unproductive, you know, kingdom things, living, surviving. But they wake up and they go, I'm in the wrong fight.
Yeah.
I'm expending all my energy, time, my youth, my muscles, my back, my money. I'm expending everything in the wrong arena.
I'm in the wrong kingdom is what it is. I'm in the wrong place. Yeah.
And so you have to move out of that arena and get into the real fight that's going on. Because that's like a backyard chicken fight where a couple of neighbors have some people come over and set up whatever, you know, illegal thing you want to do. That's the wrong fight.
It's kind of like there's a quote by Thomas Merton, and I'm going to butcher it, but basically he says, you know, those who are climbing the ladder of success, when they get to the top, only to realize that it's been leaning against the wrong wall. That's kind of what an addiction is. Man, I'm climbing, I'm doing all these things. I'm trying to make life all about me. I'm putting me in the center. And then you get to the top and you go, this isn't the right wall. I'm on the wrong wall here. You know, I'm making the wrong climb.
So I love this part where a man wakes up. He doesn't really know what to do. Mm-hmm. He just knows it's a mess. My life has been a mess. It is a mess. My thinking is messed up. And I can't keep doing more of this. It's killing me. It's just wasting all my resources. Me, time, energy, effort. Me as a it's wasting everything. So you get to this a point, and we see it over and over. And that's why I say I love it. When a man gets to this point, if he gets on the mission to start working on spiritual and emotional growth, then he gets on the right path, because he's been in avoiding and in salving his pain place, right? Mm-hmm. So as I look back on my young life, one thing is painfully clear. My life was filled with hurt and pain. Okay, that's all of us, right? Mm-hmm. And as I look back, I can see that. But what I did with that, how I handle that, right? That makes all the difference. Over time, he says, I determined to do whatever I could to escape that pain. And eventually, I found a solution, an addiction. I found a solution to numb the pain.
And what's interesting is he's acknowledging this in hindsight, in the moment. He doesn't say, oh, look, I found an addiction. Right. And no, he found some kind of escape, some kind of pleasure, something to distract, to deflect, right? So that's really what, and now he has the right language around it when he's actually awakening, right? He goes, yeah, what I found was something that took me down a path that eventually locked me in a cage. But in the moment, when you're a kid, when you're a young adult, an adolescent, whatever, and you're going, I don't know what to do with this relational pain. I don't know what to do with the brokenness that's in my, you know, family, why my personality doesn't seem to click with people, whatever it may be. I've been rejected at school, all this kind of stuff. There's a sense
pain
in which
upon pain upon pain.
My radar is looking for some kind of relief.
No.
And so when you latch onto something, go, boy, okay, here's some porn, or here's fill in the blank with whatever the relief may be, but let's use porn. Here's some porn. I have found a whole new world that I can go into.
Yes.
That when I'm in there, none of this other stuff is even on in my mind. It's not affecting me. I'm just in this other place. And so I've learned how to escape into that place of relief.
And that escape place, it worked really well in the beginning. It distracted me and it held me. It numbed me. It took me to another place because I didn't know how to face my pain. It seemed overwhelming as a child. There was so much confusion and pain and hurt. I didn't know what to do, and numbing it seemed like a great idea.
Isn't it interesting? You know, I'm starting to put some of these things together, maybe in a way that can be articulated, things we've talked about for a long, long time. Isn't it interesting? And I'm going to get spiritual here for a second. Isn't it interesting the tactic of our enemy that convinces us, hey, listen, come down this path, and actually convinces us that it would be better for us to not feel than to actually go to the places of emotional healing and growth. Isn't that interesting? Like, there's a very real, because what's your whole mission? You're like, growth is the mission. Emotional, I mean, you're the emotional guy, right? You want to talk about relationships and emotions and getting emotionally healthy and fit. And isn't it interesting? When we go to these places of relief, we start to believe it would be better to not be able to feel at all.
That's a great insight.
Than to actually...
Let's go through life not feeling.
Yeah.
Not feeling my pain, not feeling your pain. When she starts to cry and talk and have wants and needs, I don't want to feel pain. I want nothing to do with pain. And as soon as you overwhelm me, I'm going to numb out.
Yeah.
When I flood with my pain, I numb out. When I flood with your pain, I numb out. All pain takes me to numbness.
And here's what we've discovered. Addiction is very effective at numbing a person's emotional sensitivities.
It works.
Right?
You're saying it really works.
I mean, how many times do you see, you know, 40, 50, 60-year-old guys that have the emotional maturity of a 10-year-old, right? In other words, there was a stunting.
Yes.
There's no emotional growth there anymore. It's like the addiction sears. In the moment, like you said, for a little while, you go, hey, there's relief. But it's kind of a false, it's pleasure, but it's not feeling. And those are two different things. It's like, it's almost like a pseudo feeling. It's like, I'm just getting pleasure. I'm not actually feeling.
Well, and that's half of life.
Yeah.
Find some pleasure and carry some pain. I mean, we're going to experience both of those. But you know what pops into my head as you're talking? You're saying there is great value and importance in pain.
Absolutely, yeah.
There are lessons in pain. It's important to sit with pain. You can't numb it and live well. So I'm going to have to write a blog on the importance of pain.
Yeah.
So, but it numbed it. It numbed what I could not face. But when I look back now, I see what the truth is. The addiction promised me relief, but it slowly began to consume me. Hmm. Relief. I get caught up in more relief. I check out from more important things. I run from things that should be attended to. I don't listen. I go to the numb place and the pleasure place and the momentary place, and it starts growing. And I don't realize it's consuming my life and stunting my development.
Yeah, one of the ways that I put it is it's like we start out in an addiction believing that we are in control. And there's some truth to that. Like, hey, I choose when to blah, blah, blah. And eventually the addiction controls us. Like eventually it's almost like I'm at its mercy. I've had a thought or I'm trying to be in a, you know, a board meeting or something. And all of a sudden all my thoughts are just going towards when's my next fix? When's my next acting out? So it starts to then control the person.
What's interesting is that nobody knows when you become addicted.
Yeah.
There's a line where you do have control. You have control. You have control. And then you cross this line and your life becomes uncontrollable and you can't stop and you can't go back and you can't find simple pleasure and you've lost down. It's like a continuum, right? Mm-hmm. You go down and you play with pleasure and then you back off. You're okay. But you would play, you numb your pain, you play with pleasure, you distract and you use your addiction. And after a while, it becomes your life.
Yeah.
You forgot how to go back to living life. You're living in addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So it has consequences. We're jumping around here. When I woke up, remember, this is about an addict that's waking up. And he's saying, it gave me relief and it numbed me. But as my eyes open up and I'm looking at my life, this is what I'm seeing. That addiction stunted my growth. It hindered me from being free. I had an addiction. I didn't have freedom. It blinded my vision, I could only see one thing. It blocked my maturity. Discipline yourself. Deny yourself. Submit yourself. Sacrifice yourself. It blocked my maturity. It tied up my whole system, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. That's the consequence of my addiction, and I'm seeing it, and I'm confessing it today.
And again, thinking about this this word that we're using, awakening, look at just kind of the words you used: stunted, hindered, blocked, blinded, tied up. It's almost like I can see addiction sort of dragging this man into a dark, deep dungeon.
Ooh.
And saying, I'm going to put you down here in a place where there's no light, there's no sound, there's no, like, and I'm going to essentially kind of, quote unquote, put you to sleep and just put you away in this dungeon. And so it's like it fits. The idea of addiction is putting us into a deep sleep of numbness. And I like the fact that you said it covers all areas, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. We are just in the dark in our addiction. But when he's talking about the awakening means light has now been shed on these very things. I can see that it stunted my growth. Yeah. I can see that it hindered me. I can see that it tied up my whole system. So
it's, isn't that beautiful?
The light and dark contrast.
Because he can see now what he couldn't see before.
Yeah, he wouldn't, in the dungeon, he wouldn't have recognized, I've been dragged down into it, I've been stunted. No, it's like you're just completely consumed in your numbness.
And, you know, as you're saying that about the dungeon and the dark place, disconnection comes to my mind.
Yeah.
You become so disconnected from other people, from God,
from reality,
family, and
from yourself,
from children, everywhere you're disconnected. And you only have one mission: to use. I must use today, and I must numb today. And then I go to bed, and I get up today, and I must use today, and I must numb today, because I must avoid all the pain in my life.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad when you think about, he found a solution. It was a bad solution. And I mean, that's what we believe. All addictions start as solutions. They escape, right? Somebody was saying, is fantasy bad? I said, no, there's good fantasy and there's bad fantasy. If you just do, if you get addicted to bad fantasy, right, you're escaping because you can't feel, and detaching and escaping, fantasizing with bad fantasy. Well, good fantasy is God and heaven and angels. And you know,
how do you think we can even be creative if we don't have the ability to fantasize, like imagine something that isn't, you know?
But I hadn't thought about the isolation in the dark place, the disconnection from others that are feeding us love and kindness and challenging it. The thing about a friend, you know, I'm going to define a friend as I see somebody that I really appreciate as a friend. They call me higher. A friend will always call you out. Don't be stupid. Don't say that. What are you doing? Why are you trashing yourself right now? Why are you being critical? Why are you being negative? They call you out. Friends call you out. Other people don't want to offend you, and they don't, you know, they don't want to make you mad. They just want to be liked. And
Or they might want something from you, so they're not going to offend you.
Right. So when I say disconnected from his friendship, that's disconnected from life and growth and feedback and change, right? And he has a very clear mission. I cannot feel pain. Think about, isn't that a beautiful lie that's all-consuming?
Yeah.
Because life is full of pain and rejection and abandonment and neglect.
And the irony is that lie compounds on itself. So the more that I pursue an escape from pain, the more pain I'm actually bringing into my life.
Wow.
Because it's not part of the, I'll tell you from firsthand, part of the awakening from my own addiction was realizing just how much pain I had added to my life because of my addiction.
And everybody else's life too, right?
Yeah. So not, forget the roots of the pain that started my addiction. The addiction itself added innumerable points of pain.
So you're saying pain stacked upon pain,
exactly.
Right?
All because of this lie of saying, avoid pain, get away from pain. and making my life all about escaping pain only added, you know, exponentially more pain to my life.
So this sort of takes me on a little side trip, because I like to sometimes be vulnerable and say my greatest fear. And that is that I'm not good enough. And I'm really saying that to invite you to say, what do you think the pain was? Because you're saying, when I did my awakening, what was the pain that you could not feel, that you had to, you were trying to escape?
Like from the beginning?
Or I don't know how you want to answer my question. I don't really. You go wherever you want to go. I'm not leading you somewhere, okay? But what you just said, I could not feel, so I stacked pain on pain on pain. But what was it that, because I bet people are thinking out there, what's everybody running from? What do I have the same thing you have? Is it down there that's so bad?
So we talked about this in another episode, all about the idea of approval and being an approval junkie.
Okay.
And so I had a very fixed image of what I wanted people to see me as, meaning like, I've got to be the best at everything. I've got to be number one. I've got to be somebody that doesn't fail. I've got to be somebody that can.
But that's the solution.
But so,
what was the pain that was supposed to fix?
The pain was, if you actually saw that, if you saw that I'm not all of those things.
But that means I'm unlovable.
Yeah.
Right? So is that close? Because take it as low as you can take it. Because if I'm not,
I think
good
there's
enough,
rejection in that. Like the idea is not only rejection, but that you might actually hate me. Like it's one thing to just say, I don't want to be around you, but then to say that guy's a bad person, that guy's a bad apple. Don't be around that guy.
It's, accusation. But like I'm bad.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
It must be I am bad.
Yeah.
Right, because everybody listening,
or I'm
now,
a fraud. That would be kind of the.
But that's the second. That's the layer up. Yeah. The way I act is not honest. But there's one line that we all carry, and that's why I say it. Because if you say it and you own it, you bring it to the light. We're lifting it up to God, saying, "Hey, is this true, God? Is this true? I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable, or whatever the one line is." As children, it overwhelmed us, and we have to be kind to ourselves because we found something, and it worked for a while. But then we come to the awakening place, and I think we're all, in, as we say, the awakening, like, oh, it just happened once.
It's
reality.
There's layers of awakening.
Of walking with God and seeing Christ and understanding the Holy Spirit, and there's awakening waiting all around us.
And one thing that I think is important to say at this point is the desire to go away from pain is not bad. Like, I mean, think about it. God did not design our bodies to say, okay, listen, put your hand over that fire and who cares, you know, do it.
Right.
No, it's like we have been, even in our bodies, given an understanding that there's a boundary there. Certain pain is not good. I think what we're talking about here is the recognition that even though in the garden, in the design, pain that we're talking about here was not part of the original plan, but we have to live with it now. We have to learn ways to live with it. And what we're talking about here is the unhealthy response to pain that says all pain in all forms is bad, and therefore we've got to avoid every single possibility of pain. And that's where we get into trouble with addiction.
So he says, my life became ensnared. I could not grow because I could not feel something painful in my soul. But in recovery and coming to this place of awakening, I've been doing things differently. I'm slowing down. Just slowing down. Do I have to run? Do I have to go? Do I have to chase? No, slow down. I'm becoming more curious about my pain. I'm asking questions. And that's what I'm saying. What do you carry? I carry pain. Hey, what do you carry? And everybody's carrying pain. Why don't we talk about it? Why does it have to be a deep buried secret in us? I became curious about it. I wanted to learn about myself. So I started paying more attention. What are thoughts that I have? Well, what are choices and why was that a good choice? And what patterns do I repeat? Because in the awakening, I knew I had to rediscover my childhood pain so it could take me to a new place.
Yeah, I like that very first sort of realization is I need to slow down. When I first kind of was awakening from my own addiction, I just realized that, man, the pacing of addiction was always urgent, urgent, urgent. Like it's, there's no restfulness in addiction. There's no, hey, put that off till next week. There's no delayed gratification. It's always now, 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 urgent, urgent, urgent. Mm. And so for me, part of the awakening was, yeah, I got to, the pattern and the rhythm of how I just do daily life, I got to slow down. There is a sense in which part of that too, that slowing down is saying, let's now take an honest look in the mirror, Jonathan. Slow down, look in the mirror, get a good counselor that can also help you look in the mirror, and then start to be able to assess what's going on there. Because, you know, again, if you think about what we've been talking about, the addiction, it's all about numbing and it's all about deflecting. It's all about not looking.
And not that seeing. Pain. That's good. Not, I can't see it. I can't see it. I won't be okay. It's like solar eclipse. If you look at pain, you'll lose your eyesight. Don't look. Don't
Which is why, in some ways, if you've been in the dungeon of addiction, you kind of get comfortable with that darkness. You kind of go, I'm familiar with this, and I'm used to not looking at those things.
And you become expert at that, right? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So the pain has always been there. It's still there. Old pain, I don't think, goes away. I think we bring it to life, we get some healing. But if you lived a painful moment and you remember it, you're not going to go, well, that was happy.
No, it doesn't change the moment.
Man, that was sad. I got through it, but that was sad. So you have to look at the buried hurt, the buried unworthiness. And when that comes up now, this time, I'm choosing a different path. I will not run from the things within me, the things I need to learn, I need to reorder or bring to the cross, seek healing, write confession, bring to the light, tell a brother, call one another out and say, hey, I got to work on this. Even what you're saying, I have to slow down. I have to slow down. I mean, you're confessing to me and God, I have to slow down, right?
Well, one of the things that comes to my mind is, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the full armor of God. And a couple of times in that passage, it says, so that you may stand.
Yeah.
And there's an idea here of like, I'm not going to run anymore. By God's grace, I have the armor of God that I can put on. These things that have scared me, these arrows that have come at me before, these things that I've tried to run away from and hide from, by God's grace, I can stand here now. I can stand. I can assess that. I can actually do battle. I can fight. I mean, I don't have to be weak anymore in the sense of I have no recourse or no way to respond to this other than addiction, other than escape. No, I have other options now. I have other tools and weapons to use.
I stand today. I just stand. Your pain, and I'm taking my stand right here. I'm not going to die. Your pain. Your unworthiness, your name calling, but I'm not going to die. You're my past. You're a story, but I'm going to stand right here. Mm-hmm. So in close, addictions are escapes. They are effective at helping us avoid pain, but they're powerless to resolve the pain. Sooner or later, emotional freedom requires courage, patience, and honest, hard work.
Yeah. And I like that idea of courage. And I just want to say to listeners and viewers now, if you are recognizing, hey, you know what, I've been in the dungeon too long, and maybe there's some light, a little ray of light has come through in this conversation today. I just want to encourage you that whatever step you take towards the light, no matter how small it is, we celebrate that courage. It's the right move. It is courageous. It's courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is saying, I'm scared to death, but I know this is the right step to take. And I'm going to do it anyway, even in my fear. Amen. I like the phrase, I think Brené Brown might have made it popular, but do it afraid. Like, do the right thing, but do it afraid. Even if you're afraid, do it. That's courage.
I got to write that down. Do it afraid. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. That's a great line.
In many ways, that's what recovery is. There's a lot of do it afraid moments in recovery. Yeah.
So I'm going to pray, Father, I'm sorry for the time I wasted running and distracting myself. I'm sorry for choosing escape over seeking, pursuing. I need your help. I want to go deeper. I want to learn more. I want to submit more. I want to trust you with my pain and in my pain and despite of my pain, I want to trust you. That's my prayer. And that's my request in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And so a really beautiful scripture passage that we want to close with is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 say this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Amen.
Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, or see if there's anything in me that is trying to take me back to that dungeon. See if there's any way in me that is harming others because I'm unwilling to face pain. See if there's any way in me that is outside of your path and what's good for me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Like, lead me on your path.
Amen.
And that's what we hope for here is when, and by the way, I think it's important for us to say this. We don't wake up on our own.
Mm.
Like, the God of heaven has known you from before the foundation of the earth. And he's the one, he's the only one, God is light. He's the only one that can illuminate our lives to the point where we see, I'm in a dungeon. I need to walk out of here. It's God's grace. It's God's initiative. God is the one that's inviting you to awaken from your addictive slumber and to actually experience the abundant life of joy that is in the light. We're made to walk in the light because he is in the light. And so we're here to help you take that next best step to wholeness in Christ. And so please reach out to us. And we're so grateful that you've been with us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program.
God bless.